In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. One of the things that a lot of time people ask me, especially who knew me like before I became a priest and now know me after I become a priest, a lot of times they ask me a question like, how do you come up with sermons? How do you prepare a sermon? Because how do you come up with something every week to come up here and talk about, even though it's the same thing year after year after year after year? So I decided today, before we get to the sermon, I'll let you guys in on the process. It's not as difficult and as it's not rocket science. Okay, it's not as difficult as you may think. And the thing that I try to do every time that I try to prepare the sermon is I look at all the readings of the church, okay, and all the readings that we read. And you know there's lots of readings, more than just the gospel. We have reading from St. Paul's epistles, from the Catholic epistles, from the Acts. We have a reading that was in Matins this morning in the gospel. We had a reading last night in Vespers, Asheia. So I try to look at all those readings and try to come up with, usually there's like a theme that kind of connects them all. So today what we're going to do is, you're going to help me come up with a theme. You're going to write today's sermon. I'm going to go over some of the readings that we read starting from last night's Gospel of Asheia and concluding all the way to today's Gospel. I'll just show you pieces of each one, and you today get to tell me what the sermon's going to be about. Fair? Okay. So last night's Gospel of Asheia came from Matthew chapter 9, all right? And it was just a few verses, but there was two like main stories in those two verses. Verse 20 to 22 is a story that I'm sure you all know very well. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Story that we all know. The woman who had been bleeding for many, many years. Jesus is in a crowd around, a crowd of people around him. She fights her way through the crowd, touches a piece of his garment, and boom, she's healed and she's made well. The rest of the gospel goes on and talks about another story, which is about Jairus, who's not named here, but from the other gospels, you know his name is Jairus, who came to the Lord at the beginning of the gospel and said, I got a problem. My daughter is sick and she died. Look what Christ says to her. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. Why? Because she had died. He came to a funeral. And he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. So man, Jairus, comes to Christ, says, my daughter is dead. Can you come? He comes, and she walks out alive. That's story number two. This morning, the Matins, okay, and back here this morning, Gospel was from Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 was telling a story, won't read the whole thing because it's a little bit longer, but a story that I'm sure you've probably heard here and there about a Gentile woman who was not a Jewish, she was a Gentile woman who came to Christ because her daughter also had a problem. She was demon-possessed. So she came to Christ and says, yes, I know I'm a Gentile, and I know that you're a Jew, you're not supposed to talk to me, but can you help out my daughter who's demon-possessed? Let's see what he says here. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So we looked at last night, looked at this morning. We saw a woman who was blood, sick, healed. We saw a girl who was dead, sick, healed. We saw a daughter who was demon-possessed, healed. We'll skip the Pauline and the Catholic Epistle, but we'll go to the Acts. The story of the Acts of the Apostle was about a woman named Tabitha, who was a good woman, who also had died. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. What's the theme of today's sermon? What's the theme of today's sermon? I don't have a choice in what to talk about in today's sermon. Okay? Because every single story was the exact same. Sick person, faith, healed. Sick person, faith, healed. Sick person or dead person, faith, healed. Something happened in each one of these passages that I just read to you where there was a problem. They came to the Lord, or in the Acts, the servant of the Lord, St. Peter, who prayed to the Lord. They came to the Lord, and the Lord solved a problem. And it was the most evident, and actually in today's gospel, where the greatest healing took place, but it wasn't a physical healing. It was about a sinful woman that we just read just now, who came to Christ with a big, big, big disease, and it was called sin. And how did she end up after she came to Christ? Well, look what he says to her. He says, "Your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace." So all the bad stuff, all the problems, all the spiritual sickness, she walks out healed with today. Today's Gospels, or today's stories, are all about healing and how the Lord heals when you come to Him. Now, when I hear this and I read this, I have a problem. I have a problem with the stories that we just read. I have a problem with all the passages being put together like that today on one Sunday. I have a problem that I came to read the readings and everyone said the same thing. Sick and healed, and sick and healed, sick and healed, and sick and healed. I have a problem with that. You know what my problem is? My problem is probably the same problem that you have with it sometimes if you really think about it. These stories seem so far away from where I am right now in life. That's my problem that I have. Is that I look at these stories and I see how God heals. And I don't have any doubt that God can heal. It's not that I don't have faith that God can heal. I'm sure that God can heal. And maybe you may come to me and tell me about your problem and I tell you how God can heal you. And I tell you to have faith and how everything's going to be okay. But my problem is this. How come it's not in my life? There's my problem. My problem is that I can see this for you and you and you and you and you and you. And I can preach this for every single one of you. And I can see how God does great miracles when you come to Him in faith. But I got a serious problem is that how come my situation hasn't been solved? How come that my relationship that I'm praying for hasn't been solved? How come my problem still exists even though it seems like everyone else's problems is out there getting solved? How come mine hasn't? It's discouraging to read all this and see all these miracles and then look at your own life and it's like two different worlds. You see there's beautiful miracles and you don't see any of it happening in your own life. Where's the connection? It sometimes gets discouraging. That's why I'll point to another reading from today, which was St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, which I absolutely loved. Look what St. Paul says here. St. Paul, the great missionary, the great servant of the Lord. Look what he says. "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond belief, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." St. Paul, the strong. St. Paul, the guy who was like a lion. St. Paul, the guy who couldn't be stopped. St. Paul, the guy who they beat, they couldn't stop him. They whipped, they couldn't stop him. He was shipwrecked, they couldn't stop him. They stoned him, left him for dead. They stopped throwing rocks on him because they thought he was dead. He got up, wiped the rocks away, and went right back into the city. This man of God says, you know what? I was burdened beyond measure. Burdened beyond measure, the word in the original language, literally means weighed down. You know what St. Paul is saying right here? St. Paul is coming and saying, you know what? There was a time in my life where I couldn't take it anymore. It's too much. Too much pressure. Too much stress. Too much responsibility. It's just too much. Too much burden. Enough. I can't take it. It got to the point where he even said, despaired even of life itself. I don't want to wake up today. I don't want to go outside. I don't want to go to church. I don't even want to live today. That's what St. Paul is saying right here. It's hard for me to imagine St. Paul saying this, but that's what he did say. And even though it's hard for me to imagine, I sure am glad that he said it. I'm glad that he showed his human side right here, because I know that I can relate to this. I can relate to this more than I can relate to the miracles sometimes. I can relate to the discouragement more than I can relate to the healings. And I think that you can as well. I think if you're honest with yourself and you take the time to investigate, each one of us will look and find that there's a problem. And there's a problem that I have and a problem that you may have. And each one of us may have a problem. That problem may be a sickness. It may be a discouragement. It may be something else. It could be a relationship. Where could it be? But every one of us has got a problem. And the thing that we're asking ourselves is, where's this? Where are these stories? Where are these? Where are these in my life? How come I can't experience any of these? How come everyone else in the whole wide world can come and see those things, but I can't? Today, what we want to do is get to the solution of this. What to do when you're like St. Paul, burdened beyond measure. What to do when you're the pressures and the anxiety and the stress, and you just say, too much, and I can't take it no more, and I don't want to do it anymore, and I'm tired, and I'm this and I'm that. What to do in that situation? What to do? I told you, you're giving the sermon today, not me. I came up with the problem, you come up with the solution. Anyone can come up with the first part of the sermon, which says, what's the problem for the day? But the hard part is coming up with the solution. What's the solution? What's the answer? Someone said something very, very nice right here. What we're going to do is we're going to do what someone just said right here. Is we're going to take our problems straight to the Lord Jesus himself. Sometimes, a lot of times, people come and ask me, exactly like I'm saying right now, this problem, overwhelming, this and that, fix it for me, Abuna Anthony. That's my job in people's opinion, to fix other people's problems. My marriage, this, fix it. My personal life, this, fix it. This relationship doesn't work, fix it. And we come all the time expecting someone to fix the problems. And you know what? At the beginning of my priesthood, I was foolish enough and naive enough and proud of myself enough to think I could do it. And I used to try to fix the people and help people and this and that, give them advice, this and that, until I realized I can't fix it. Sorry. I wish I could fix your problems. I can't. I really, believe me, for my sake more than yours, I wish I could fix all the problems in the world, but I can't. I can't fix my own. I know that for certain. And I most likely can't fix yours either. But you know what? I know who can. I don't know what the solution is, but I know where the solution is. And the solution is, as someone said up here, is we take it to Jesus. He's the problem solver. Not the priest, not a book, not a seminar, not a show on the radio or on the TV. None of that stuff's going to solve your problems. None of that stuff's going to give you anything unless you take it to the Lord Jesus himself. Isn't that what our four examples did today? I said at the beginning, the example of the bleeding woman. The bleeding woman was bleeding for 12 years. And I bet you during those 12 years, she went to every doctor she could find. Nothing. She went to every priest she could find, said, pray for me, put my name on the altar. She went to every monastery and put the little piece of paper. She did everything that she could. She tried all the herbal remedies. She did everything she could to find the solution. And the end result was still bleeding. So you know what she said? She said, enough. I'm going straight to Jesus. And she went. And what did she find? She found healing. Same thing with Jairus, the man whose daughter was sick, who probably he asked the sorcerers to lift her. And he asked these people to pray for her. And he did all this kind of stuff. None of that solved it. He said, forget about this stuff. I'm going straight to Jesus. And he went and he came back with his daughter to be healed. The sinful woman is the best example of them all because it's so clear with her. Sinful woman had a problem. And her problem I relate with very, very much. You know what her problem was? Her problem was sin. Okay? Her problem was not health or anything like that. Her problem was, I have a sin in me and I can't fix it. And I'm sure that the sinful woman didn't start off as a horrible person from her birth. I'm sure she started off as someone struggling against sin, much like we are. And she struggled and she tried and she read books and she did fasting and she did all this kind of stuff to try and nothing solved it. The sin was still there. And she tried techniques and she went to seminars and the sin was still there. And she asked people's advice and she went and sin was still there. I'm sure that she tried and tried and tried to stop that sin and nothing could happen. And I bet you even through her trying, she was able to help other people struggling with the same sin. But the same sin was still inside her. And it got worse and worse and worse till eventually she got to the point where she was known as the sinful woman, meaning that her sin was no longer a private thing, her sin became a public thing. And everyone, that's the only thing the gospel says about this woman. She is a sinner. What to do in that situation? What to do when you tried everything? What to do when you got no more hope? What to do when you feel like, you know what? I can't take it no more. What did she do? She went straight to Jesus. And she went straight at him, and she didn't let anything get in her way. And she came away with healing. My question to you is, can you do the same? Can we do the same thing? Can we take our problems not to Abuna first? Can we take our problems not to our friends at work? Can we take our problems and not say, you know what? I'm stressed. I'm this and that. Let me take it to the TV. The TV will make me relax. Everything will go away magically when I finish watching TV. Can I take my problem, instead of taking it to something or some place, can I take it to the Lord Himself and let Him be the healer? Now the question is, that sounds nice and it sounds easy, but it's not as easy as it sounds. The question is how we do that. Practically, what does that mean? What does that mean, take it to Jesus? Like, what does that mean, take my problems to the Lord? One of the things that you'll notice in all these examples about the people who had the problem, took it to the Lord, found the healing, you'll notice that every one of them had obstacles they had to overcome. Okay, for none of them, the path was not smooth sailing. It's not a magic carpet ride. Every one of them had obstacles that they had to overcome. But what you'll also find is in each one of these, the quality that I see in all four of these miracles, more than anything else, is that they were persistent. They were determined. Okay? Not determined to find a solution, but determined to get to the solver of the problem. They were determined to get to Jesus regardless of what it was. Again, the bleeding woman wasn't just walking in the mall one day and happened to see the Lord Jesus in the mall next door to her, or in the street, or in a shop, or something like that. There's a crowd of people around her, and she had to fight her way through, and people pushed her. This is the Middle East. People pushing and shoving, and she's pushing and shoving, and she's sick and all this kind of stuff, and she had to fight her way through just to touch one small little piece of the bottom of his robe. The Gentile, the woman, had to come in and beg, please heal my daughter. And even Jesus gave her like a rough response. It's not good to give what's for the kids to the dogs. She said, okay, I'm a dog, but even the dogs get some scraps. She was willing to be persistent and not give up at the first try. The sinful woman, does she have any obstacles to overcome? Oh, you better believe she did. She's risking her life coming into the Pharisee's house like this. They could have stoned her. They'd have at least cursed her and spat upon her and shamed her and all this kind of stuff. And she said, I don't care. Let them spit on me. Let them stone me if they need to. Let them do what they want. I will get to Jesus. End of story. And she persisted and fought and pushed her way till she got there, and she was rewarded for it. When I say take your problems to the Lord, it sounds nice, it sounds easy, it's the hardest thing in the world to do. Okay? Because it's the thing that has the most benefit, and the only thing that can solve it. It's not easy. There will always be obstacles, always be distractions. You know this, right? I don't need to tell you this. Every time if you are like me, every time I stand to pray, every time I get ready to do my quiet time in the morning, 10,000 things distract me all simultaneously. Let me tell you how it goes in my house. As soon as I do quiet time, regardless of 8 in the morning, 10 at night, midnight, it doesn't matter, afternoon, same thing always happens. What happens first thing is the phone rings. This thing go out? I think the microphone just went out. Let me take one of these. Thank you. Can you hear me now? Oh. Okay. Is this thing broken? Okay. As I was saying, the road to getting into the presence of the Lord is not an easy one, and it's not one that's going to come just by accident or randomly. It's one that takes persistence. In my house, I was saying, if you were like me, anytime I try to pray, anytime I try to do my quiet time, regardless of, like I was saying, if it's 8 in the morning, if it's 10 at night, if it's midnight, if it's 4 in the afternoon, regardless of what time of day it is, my quiet time always begins, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, phone rings. Before I get to Holy Spirit, phone rings. I don't know, it's someone always calls exactly at that moment in time, just to distract me. Turn off the phone, throw it under the bed, whatever. Get back ready to do my quiet time, and I start to pray. Then all of a sudden I realize, I have to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, no, don't go to the bathroom, just stay and pray. I'm like, no, but I need to go. No, that's okay, just fine. And I spend a half hour discussing with myself whether to go to the bathroom or not go to the bathroom, and I can't pray because I'm debating with myself to go to the bathroom or not go to the bathroom. I say, finally, forget about it, let me go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom, and I come back. And I say, okay, now I'm ready, time to pray, and now it's... Now my nose needs... I have to blow my nose now. Now I can't find the tissues. And now I have to I go back to the bathroom, we get toilet paper to blow my nose, and it's just distraction after distraction after distraction. Don't think that going to the presence of the Lord is something easy and smooth and fun and like a magic carpet ride. When our Lord described the path to get to Him, He didn't describe it as easy. He described it as difficult and narrow, and there are very few who find it. And if you look at our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, His path to get to the Father was not a smooth one. It consisted of blood, sweat, and tears. And you know what? Prayer is the same way. And if you really want to get to the feet of our Lord, it's going to take some persistence. It's going to take some guts. It's going to take some fighting. It's not for the weak. The kingdom of heaven is for the violent, and the violent take it by force, is what our Lord Jesus Christ says. So we should expect the obstacles, and we should be prepared for them. Some of us, first obstacle that comes our way, we give up. Okay, that's not going to fly. All right, when it comes to this life, that's not going to fly when it comes to getting healing. If the bleeding woman had stopped the first time someone said, "No, no, no, you can't go there," where would she be right now? If the sinful woman had stopped the first time she thought, "Well, maybe they're going to make fun of me," where would she be right now? Take some persistence. And put it to you this way. Later on this afternoon, by the grace of God, something I'm sure you all care very much about, the Washington Redskins will be going to New York to take on the New York Giants. And by the grace of God, they will score many, 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 many touchdowns. They will get to the end zone many, 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 many times. And this is a great goal and something great that they should strive towards. But I do not expect that their opponent, the New York Giants, will make that path easy for them. I do not expect them to lie down and allow them in. I expect that if they want to make it in the end zone and if they want to score points, they're going to have to fight their guts out. And they're going to have to push themselves and persist. And if the other team hits them, they're going to hit back harder. And if the other team tries to stop them, they're going to push even harder. And I expect this should be the same thing in my spiritual life. If I want to get to the end zone, if I want to get to the reward, I got to be tough a little bit, and I got to push myself. And if the distraction comes, I can't just quit. I push myself through the distraction. If you're waiting for a time when there's no opponent, if you're waiting for a time when there's no distraction to really pray, you're going to be waiting a long time because the distraction is always going to be there. So that's the first thing, is we have to learn to persist and push our way to get there. Now the next question I want to ask is, what do I do when I get there? What do I do when I have persisted and I've fought off the distractions? What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? One of the biggest obstacles that I've discovered, that a lot of people can't pray, can't spend time with God, because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Like, how am I supposed to know? Like, what am I supposed to say? Tell me, Boone Anthony, again, you tell me what to say. I'll say whatever you tell me. Well, the right answer there is, again, I don't know what you're supposed to say. I mean, there's no formula. God doesn't say, if you say this and this and make this matanya and read this psalm, then it doesn't work that way. It's not about a formula. It's about a relationship. And the hard part, we think the hard part is figure out what to say. The hard part is just get there. But once you get there, you don't, no one needs to tell you what to say. You just say what you want to say. Who told the sinful woman what to say? Who told her to do the feet thing? Who told her that? I mean, where is it written in the Old Testament? It doesn't say that. Who told the bleeding woman to touch the garment? It doesn't say that. She pushed her way. They got there. And whatever comes, comes. And I believe, in fact, I believe that if you would ask the sinful woman, what was her plan in going to the Lord? What was she planning to do and expecting to do? I bet you she most certainly had a plan, and I bet you it wasn't what actually happened. I bet you that she had a plan of, let me take this ointment, this jar of perfume or whatever, and it's very, very expensive, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the Lord a great gift. I'm going to come, put a little bit on his feet here, a little bit on his feet here, a little bit on, I'm going to put a little bit all around, and I may offer some to the guests around, stuff like that. And then you know what I'm going to do? I brought this towel, this homemade towel with my name engraved on it, and I'm going to give it to the maid to wash Jesus' feet with my towel. I'm going to give him a great gift. And she had it all planned out. Then what happened? She got there, emotions took over, she threw the whole box down, poured it all, started crying, wiping it with her hair. I don't think that was her plan. I don't think you plan something like that. So forget about the plan. There's no right words to say. But what you need to do, it's not just persist in getting there, but then when you get there, personalize. Personalize the message. Say whatever it is that you got to say. Do whatever it is that you got to do. Let it come from your heart. Don't come with a pre-programmed script to read or something like that. How do I know what to say to my wife? How do I know when to say I love you versus I miss you versus how do I know what to say? There's no book. Sometimes I wish there was a book, but there's no book that tells you what to say. The hard part is not what to say. The hard part is finding the time to say it. The hard part is fighting the distractions, fighting the busyness. But once I'm with my wife, I don't have a problem with what to say because it comes from the inside. It should be the same thing with the Lord. Push your way. Persist. Get there. Who cares if you don't know what to say? Who cares if you don't know what you're going to do? Who cares if you don't know what's going to happen? Just push your way and get there to his presence, and it'll take care of itself. The hard part, like I said, is persisting and getting through. Look here, with all these stories that we read today, all of them, like I said in the beginning, had the same formula. Problem, sickness, illness, situation, ended with healing, ended with solution. Pain led to joy. Discomfort led to comfort. Problem with the Lord led to healing from the Lord. Every one of us knows this step. Every one of us. Regardless of where you are or who you are, if you're serious and you're investigating your spiritual life and you're really taking this stuff seriously, you have a problem with the Lord. I've never met one person who doesn't. I have a problem with the Lord, and you have a problem with the Lord. Why he didn't solve this problem? Why he didn't fix this relationship I've been praying for forever? Why he can't solve this sin that I've been struggling with for years? Why he can't give me what I know I need, what he knows I need? I have a problem with the Lord. Every one of us is here. Every one of us wants to get here. Well, today's gospel, today's readings showed us the formula. There's no middleman. The only thing in the middle is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what we need to learn how to do is take this, bring it to him, and let him provide the solution. It's my fear that sometimes, because like I said, we don't know what to say, or because we're not tough enough to persist, we do the opposite. We hide from the Lord. We hide ourselves under this fake, you know, everything's okay, or we try to just be really, really busy so we don't have to think about it, or whatever it may be, and we're running away from him. Can we learn today to be like these examples? Can we learn today to be like the sinful woman? She's the one person in the entire Bible that there's no one here who can say they can't relate to. Okay, Moses is hard. Abraham is hard. Isaac, those people. David, okay. But the sinful woman, every one of us can relate to her. Every one of us can relate to what it feels like to have a problem with the sin, not know what to be able to do with it. Well, the solution is there. The solution is take it to the Lord. I can't promise you. What I'm not promising you is that everything will be solved. But here's what I am promising you. That things will change. That things will be different. It has to be. I don't know what the solution is going to be, but I know that there will be something different. It has to be. Think about it this way. The sun. If I take the sun, okay, which is powerful and magnificent, all this kind of stuff, and I came and I brought it down here and put it right here in front of us, would there be anyone here who's in the presence of the sun who would not feel a difference? Who would leave the same way that they came? Is there anyone here who would not get hot? Is there anyone here who would not get really tan and make it burned or something like that? Everyone, if the sun is here, is going to feel the effect of the sun. Well, how much more so if I am in the presence of the maker of the sun, the creator of the sun, who juggles the sun in the palm of his hand? I cannot be in the presence of God Almighty, of Pantocrator, of creator, and come out the same way. So something will happen, but what we need to do is be like these examples, especially this sinful woman. I can't teach this to you, okay? I can't tell you how to do this, like I said in the beginning. Only you can experience it by persisting and personalizing and getting to the Lord, and glory be to God forever. Amen.